from Maryam Alamu. Salam, salam, salam. You are listening to How Do You See It with your one and only host, Maryam Alamu. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your one stop to gain motivation, learn from stories around the world, and participate to share your perception towards your life. www.blogtalkradio.com/worldperspective.
Once a couple passed this honeymoon season, is what I call it, so where you don't want to be anywhere else with but with that person and everything. So when that passes, you know, life comes in the way and real things start to happen. So some of us kind of forget to love the other person as show our love to the other person as we used to. We kind of get used to our life and just, you know, change our focus and your attention to our life. So what does a couple need to do in order to keep their partner interested in each other? Because it does happen in a lot of relationships.
Sure, life eventually takes over, right? And yeah. And you fall into habits and you fall into routines. And really, the number one thing that I've seen that makes couples successful is open and honest communication. Daily open and honest communication, not just saying, you know, how was your day? And someone saying, oh, it was fine. But rather saying, asking a few deeper questions. What was the best thing about your day today? Like, what did you really enjoy about your day today? What was exciting for you today? What went well for you today? What do you wish was different? And really, like, getting communication. So having both partners committed to having a bit deeper communication every day and listening. Listening is, like, the number one most important thing. Like, there was an article, I can't remember if it was in the New York Times or not, but it quoted a guy saying, you know, we really want to be heard. Like, guys love being appreciated, and we love being heard. And if we take time to tell our partners something, it's important to us, and we want to know that it was heard. And I think the example in the article was pointing out, like, a bird, saying, oh, honey, you need to come see this really beautiful bird that's out here on the deck. And the wife was like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm a little busy. I'll be there later, right? Mm-hmm. And that caused the husband to kind of shut down because he was sharing something that he wanted to share with his wife, and she did not kind of take time to notice that, to appreciate it, and to kind of find the wonderfulness in the fact that he wanted to share something. So it's really listening and being appreciative of the things that your partner wants to share with you, and taking that time to realize if they're talking to me about it, and this is for either party, if they're talking to me about it, if they're sharing it with me, it's important, and I want to listen to it, and I want to acknowledge it, and I want to appreciate it. And just that level of communication can stop resentfulness. It can stop anger. It can stop kind of like the buildup of feeling like you're not heard or not respected, which ultimately leads to resentment. So really, communication and listening is the most important thing to stay in tune and to stay kind of in touch with each other. Our chemistry changes, our mental chemistry on how we're attracted to people and what we're attracted to and how we feel about someone. That's pretty much biological. It all changes. But the one thing that doesn't is that emotional connection with your partner, and that comes from that kind of consistent communication, curiosity, being appreciated, feeling respected, and feeling heard. And if you can find ways to interject those into every day, your relationship should stay pretty solid.
What has been the most rewarding thing about your work?
Well, I've had a couple of clients get engaged and married, and that's been really fun, right? When they call me up and they go, or they'll send me a text of, you know, the photo of them standing there going, we just got engaged, thank you so much, or we're getting married, or, you know, getting the photos on the wedding day, or even hearing about my clients a little bit after the wedding. And what they say, what makes that rewarding, I mean, other than the fact that I'm just happy that they're married and engaged and happy and all of this stuff, is that they always say, it's to somebody that I would have never considered until I worked with you. Like, I would have ruled this person out. I would have thought they weren't compatible. I wouldn't have even given them the time of day. I wouldn't have considered going on a date with them. I would have ended it after the first date because of all of these things. But because I changed who I was looking for. I changed what was important to me. I changed how I was finding it out. I learned how to set boundaries. I learned how to communicate things. I learned how to kind of navigate the dating process differently. I was able to weed out the wrong people, which allowed me to find this right person. And I considered this person. And now I'm in love and we're married and life is great. And I would have never, ever thought of them before. And that's really rewarding to me to know that my working with someone had a true impact in their life in a meaningful way that brought them, you know, joy and happiness with a life partner, which ultimately changed their life. And so that's really rewarding to me.
Beautiful. I have read on your page that some of the strategies you use to help your dating clients also work for entrepreneurs. And I know you work with business people as well. So can you give us an example of what these strategies that you were mentioning?
Yeah, so it is really funny because I never really thought at first until I got into it how much dating is really like running a business. And so the reason I became a business coach is because I built my relationship coaching so quickly. So a lot of entrepreneurs came up to me and said, how did you do it? How did you quit corporate America and build your practice of coaching so quickly and get all these clients and surpass your salary as an attorney? Teach me how to do it. Teach me how to grow my business. Teach me how to start and grow a business. And so I did. I started coaching people. And as I coached them, I realized a lot of what I was saying to them were a lot of the same things I was telling people when it came to getting out and dating. So, like, one thing is mindset.
Okay.
I really do believe that you get what you look for. And so your thoughts become your feelings, and your feelings become your actions, and your actions become your results. So if you want new results, it's not enough to just do things differently. You have to change your thoughts. So with dating, that means getting your mindset in alignment for the results you want, not being negative, not thinking, oh, there are only players out there, or, oh, I'm not going to find somebody, or there are no good guys out there, girls only want a free dinner, or whatever it is. If you think that way, that's exactly what you're going to find. And it's the same thing in business. If you think, no one's going to want what I have to sell, there's too much competition, no one's going to hire me, I'm not going to be different, I don't give any value, no one's going to want me, they're going to think that I charge too much money, then that's exactly what you're going to find. So you really have to get your mindset right. And then you have to, you also have to like know that you're valuable. You have to know your value and know your worth. And that's true in dating or in business. So you have to say, I know that what I bring to the table is valuable. You have to have really high self-esteem. No one can love you more than you love yourself. So in dating, no one will ever love you or like you more than you love or like yourself. And in business, no clients will ever believe in you or want you or believe in what you have to sell more than you do. So if you don't believe in the value of your pricing or your product or your service, other people won't. So that value part's really important. And then setting boundaries is important in dating and in business. You can't let clients take advantage of you. You can't let potential dates take advantage of you. You have to know what your standards are for life. You have to know what your boundaries are. You have to know how to enforce them. With dating and business, you also have to get out there. Like your Prince Charming doesn't know where you live. He's not going to knock on your door and say, here I am, let's get married, right? You have to get out there and find him. It's the same thing with business. You have to get out there and talk about your product, talk about your service, network, find out about other people. So you have to get out of your house or out of your office. That's the same. And then you have to make it all about the other people. So when you're dating, I say, if you're on a date and you're talking about yourself, you're doing it wrong. Like, you know all about you. You're not trying to date you. You know everything there is to know about you. Ask about the other person. Find out about them. Ask lots of questions. Same thing with business. When people are out there, they say, I hate networking. And the reason they hate networking is they're like, I hate how sleazy it feels to kind of be like, hi, here I am, buy my product, buy my service, here's what I do, blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, you're doing it wrong. Ask about other people. What do you do? What is your business? Who are the clients you're looking for? Who can I introduce you to? What can I do for you? Tell me more about you. I want to learn all about your business. There's something in the universal woo-woo laws called the law of reciprocity. And what you do for somebody, somebody will want to do for you. So if you take time to find out and get to know about someone, then they will want to take time to get to know about you. And suddenly talking about your business doesn't feel sleazy because you're answering questions that someone's asking, right? And then kind of like the final thing is you just kind of have to let go of attachments to the outcome for both dating and business. You can't be worried about whether that date is going to end up being your life partner, and you can't worry about if that consultation you're having or strategy session or sales pitch, if they're going to sign with you or buy your product. You can't be attached to that. You have to kind of like just let that go and say, there's a reason I'm meeting this person. There's a reason this client's coming across my path. I wonder what it is, and not be attached to the outcome, which then allows you to embrace that concept of every no brings you closer to a yes. Every time someone says no to you on a date, ghosts you, disappears, it's kind of the universe eliminating the wrong people out of your life, which frees up the space to find the right people. And it's the same in business. Every time someone says no to your service or no to your request or saying no to buy your product, those are people that wouldn't have loved your product, wouldn't have appreciated it. It would do nothing valuable for you and your business. So it's freeing up that time and energy so that you can interact with and talk with people who will be the right clients, who will be the right customers. And so really, those are the ways that dating and business are, I mean, there are a ton of other ways, but those are the main ways that dating and business are very similar to one another. So the mindset and the way you approach kind of networking and the way you approach selling and the way that you approach all of these components of your business are very similar to what makes a great date and makes a great dating life.
Perfect. Yeah, those are amazing examples. Thank you so much for that. And it must be very difficult, as you actually mentioned it, to leave your corporate job and start your own business because you wouldn't actually know how it's going to go, when you're going to make money that much. And I think it's kind of difficult. So what helped you the most when you started your own business? And I know you started gaining the same amount of money that you used to get after about 4 months or so, right? So it must be very powerful. I know you must have required you a lot of work. So when you started your own business, what helped you? You think, what was the most important thing?
Well, you know, so I have a couple of different thoughts around this. The way that it happened for me was my corporate job came to an end. So my contract ended and I had a choice. And I think not having a safety net, not having that salary come in, really forced me to have to grow my business quickly. My husband basically said, look, you've got about 3 months to show me that you can pull money in doing this, and then you can keep doing it. Otherwise, I need you to go back to being an attorney. So I had like a deadline, and I didn't have the safety net, and I had to make it work, right? So there is something to be said for what they call like kind of burning the bridge,
burning,
right? Cutting off that safety net.
Yes.
And just jumping into it. So that helped me a lot because I had to make it work. I didn't have a choice. I didn't have like the leisurely ability to grow it slowly. So that helped. But also not being scared to talk about what I was doing and just putting it out there and asking everyone, like, and really working. I worked with a coach to kind of understand pricing and how I wanted to price and what I needed to do and you know, to not undervalue myself, but also bring in money and bring in clients. And it was all about networking and visibility and just doing what I needed to do to let people know what I was doing, to be seen and be heard. And that required putting myself in a lot of uncomfortable, unusual situations because I had never really had to promote myself before. So getting very comfortable with that, working with a coach to help you along the way with that can be such a lifesaver because they make you feel really great about all of the things that you're doing and you feel like you're on the right track. But really having that kind of like deadline and that urgency to make it work was something that really helped me. But that being said, I do believe it is possible to have a full-time job and also build your business separately. So I never like to tell people you need to quit your job in order to make this work because sometimes you do need money coming in. You do need to pay the bills. You do need all of this to happen while you're building your own company. And at that point, though, I say look at your job, your day job, as being a loan, right? That's your business loan. Your day job is your business loan. And the extra hours that you have to work to build your business, that is the interest that you're paying back on the loan. So you're going to have to work a lot of hours, and you're going to have to be dedicated and organized and focused and efficient with your time. But either way, you can make it work. So I think just having that help on getting organized, knowing how to spend my time, knowing what would make the biggest impact so I focused on the right things instead of focusing on things like too many people start a job and they want to start focusing on their business cards and their website and their brochures and their logo, and that's the wrong place to start. If you want to start your business, you need to first start on networking, sales, list building, clients, and you don't need a website for that. You don't need business cards for that. You don't need a logo for that. So really understanding where should I put my time right away and using that in a focused and efficient way with or without a full-time job is going to be what makes or breaks your success with starting a business.
Wow, amazing, yeah. But if one of your clients, your business coaching clients, decide to quit their job and want to start build their own business, would you promise them a revenue as an employee, the same amount of revenue that they used to get?
No, I make no guarantees with any of my clients about what they'll achieve. I mean, I let them know they can achieve anything they want, but at the end of the day, it comes down to them. What are they doing with their time? What are they doing with their work? How are they talking to people? Where are they going? What's that phrase? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, right? So
yeah.
At the end of the day, while I give people all the right information and the tools and the things that can really make a difference, I can't control whether they do it. And I can't control if they're really doing it or just telling me that they're doing it. So I don't make any guarantees because at the end of the day, it really is on them. But
yeah.
I do let them know, if you do the right things, if you do this, if you follow these, you can only succeed, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
whether that comes quickly or that comes slowly, that's going to be dependent on their schedule, their timing, their pacing, their goals. It's very individual and different. So no guarantees, but the knowledge that, yes, indeed, you can build a successful business if you really do what you're learning. If you really employ it and really throw yourself into it, you can absolutely achieve your salary. Sometimes for people with a full-time job, though, a little rule I say is once you're making, like let's say you have your full-time job and then you have this other job that you're building, your own company that you're building.
Yeah.
Once you make about 50% of the salary that you want to make every year from your own business, that's a good rule of thumb for when you might feel comfortable quitting your day job. Because if you're already making 50% of the salary you want from your own business, then when you quit that day job, you quit and you free up all that time, you free up 40 to 50 hours a week. If you poured that into your business, you'll easily make the other 50%, right? So sometimes people
yeah.
need like a marker or a measuring stone to feel comfortable doing it. And I say that's kind of a good thought process, although, again, you could quit tomorrow, and if you really applied yourself and you could do it, or you could stay in your job and do it. But I really do believe that it's not about coming out saying, I'm going to make X amount of money, and instead it's, I'm going to come out and here are my goals for what I want to do. And when you follow those goals, if they're rooted in the right way, they will bring you the money.
Okay, so nowadays personal business is becoming very popular. And you have given us some amazing advices, some amazing pointers. But if you have to give one advice for someone who wants to start their own business, what would it be? Only one.
Only one advice. I would just say you have to feel the fear and do it anyway. It's going to be really, really scary. You're going to be in a lot of uncomfortable situations, and you're going to feel a lot of hesitation and fear, but you just have to do the thing anyway. Because you, no matter what, when you start from the beginning, you're at the beginning. So if you try something and it doesn't work, you're not worse off than you were before. You're right back to where you were. So you just have to keep trying. You have to be resilient, and you have to just keep going despite the emotions. Don't ignore the emotions. But there's a book. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that's a powerful statement. And I think that's the number one thing that people need to realize is fear is normal, but don't let that keep you in paralysis. Instead, just keep trying, tweaking, be resilient. Just keep doing. And if you have that mindset, if you have that grit and that resilience, then the what you do, the actual actions that you're doing, those will all fall into place. If you don't have that resilience and you don't have that grit, then it won't matter what you do. It's not going to end up working. You'll quit the first time something doesn't work out. You'll quit at the first no. So really embrace that idea of just getting used to being uncomfortable and still being able to be in action.
That was amazing. Thank you so much, Rita, for being here, for discussing this with us, for taking a time from your busy day to give us this interview. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for talking with me. And, you know, if anyone's listening, right, if anyone wants to, you know, talk about anything, I offer I offer almost everybody a free strategy session or consultation. So whether it's about dating or whether it's about business, if anyone, you know, wants to talk to me, feel free to email me at Rita@womensbusinessgarden.com. And you don't have to be a woman, but that is the group that I run, Women's Business Garden. So if you email me at Rita@womensbusinessgarden.com, you can just let me know what you'd like to talk about. And it's a no strings attached consultation. I really love giving people advice and some pointers that can make a difference in their life, whether or not they ever talk to me again. So people should just feel free to reach out to me. And also, I have a free workbook that I've created about dating. So if any of your listeners would like to download that, all they have to do is go to the website takechargeofyourlovelife.com/7principles. So it's the number 7, PRINCIPLES, 7 principles. And that will give you a guide around the 7 principles of dating with some interactive questions and things that can really help you get clear on some of those compatibility things we were talking about, on some of the ways that you need to kind of think differently to have more fun dating. So takechargeofyourlovelife.com/7principles. Your readers are free to download that and do with it whatever they might do, and hopefully that will help them have a little more fun dating.
Perfect. And I'll be putting every information that she just mentioned on this episode, and you can directly get the link from there. And you have Facebook as well, right? If they want to reach you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So I'm Rita Goodroe everywhere, RITAGOODROE. So, you know, Facebook.com/Rita Goodroe, Instagram, Rita Goodroe, Twitter, Rita Goodroe. So any social media you're on, just look for Rita Goodroe and you'll be able to find me there.
Perfect. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and you have a beautiful rest of your day, and I really appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Happy Monday, my beautiful listeners. Thank you for joining in. You are listening to How Do You See It? Please let me know what you think. You can tweet at me at @HowDoYou_see it, or we can chat live on Facebook, facebook.com/worldperspectiveshow, or you can email me directly at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com. Hope you've enjoyed that show. So last week we have talked with Rita about how she had 5 long relationships, right? That got her to ask that maybe the breakups are happening because there was something she needed to change, right? Not only because of the other person, not only because of the other party, which led to the decision of going out to 35 consecutive dates, which she said were not exhausting, but blogging about it was, though. So yeah, we got that. But I really thought it was going to be exhausting, and how that led to becoming a relationship and dating coach, also of a business now, since she was able to surpass her salary, as you heard her talk about it, as an attorney shortly after she started her own business. So we were discussing all about that. We also discussed about how difficult it is to go back to start dating, to go back to the dating world after a breakup of a very long relationship, because most of us know by now it is really difficult for some people, especially as we get older. We might be afraid to just, you know, get out of there again, get out there and try something different. We might think the game might have changed, you know, the dating game might have changed and all that. So we covered that topic as well. We also talked about how open should couple be about their finances, because it's a very, very, very major issue nowadays with couples who are having this financial thing, especially with, you know, credit cards, debts and everything. So we covered all that, and we talked about how a guy would know, a woman would know if he's in love with her, if he can fall in love with her. So she really kind of touched upon this issues, and I really believe that you have learned a lot from her. And today we talked what relates business, entrepreneurship with relationship and dating, because The main issue of this show is she talked about how relationship and dating is related, kind of similar, and has an interrelationship with entrepreneurship, right? So I was like, huh, this is interesting. We have to know about this, right? So today she actually went in there and told us what make them similar, right? She gave us some pointers, which are, in my opinion, which are very, very amazing for our lives in general, not only for relationship, not only for business, but for any kind of interactions that we have in our day-to-day life, for any kind of decisions that we're making in our day-to-day life, right? So I'm just going to go over the pointers that she pointed out because it's really important. So in short, she said we need to work on mindset, because I have made a whole show about mindset, as you remember, before, I don't know, about 10 episodes before or so, 10 or 14, I think, episodes before. So mindset is the main thing in any kind of situation. So whether you want to, whether you're going to decide tomorrow to wake up at 5 a.m. and do and handle those situations or those things that needs to be handled or sleep 1 hour more is a decision. So that's all in your mindset. When you correct your mindset and when you have a positive mindset and go about something, it's different than when you have a negative mindset and go about to do it something, right? So she talked about how we can work on mindset, both on relationship and business, and how we should believe in ourselves when it comes to the relationship and believe in our work when it comes to our own business, right? To know our value and believe in it so that the other person can believe in you, the other person can love you. You have to know what your value is. You have to love yourself first, right? She said, set your boundaries, right? Set your boundaries and know how to enforce them. Know how to enforce them. And network. A lot of people hate networking. Right? Not only business people have to go out and network, but people who want to date have to go out and network, because how else are you going to meet that person that you want that you never know? It might end up with for the rest of your life. So you have to go out and network, meet people, talk, discuss something other than the main topic that you want to discuss so that you can know that person, right? And when you talk, she also said that make it about the other person. Listening is a very, very, very important thing here that you can use. A very good thing to use is listening. Make it about the other person. Listen to what they have to say. So as Stephen Covey said, seek to understand than to be understood. We have also mentioned this on my past show about when I did about the social intelligence and emotional intelligence with Chris Gross. So make it about the other person. Try to listen very much. And the other most important thing she mentioned was detach yourself from the outcome. So if you want to go further, if you want to really know whether they are the right clients for you, whether they're going to be the right clients or whether that person is going to be the right for you, that the one, you have to detach yourself from the outcome. When you do that, you're going to be so obsessed about the outcome, you're not going to be paying attention to what is happening now, which is going to lead to some unwanted consequences, right? So she also talked about a lot of things. It would take me a whole another show to cover all that. So I just wanted to point out those things. She is amazing. Don't forget that she's a dating, a relationship, and business coach. You can find, I have put every information here. You can find her on Facebook. You can email her. You can find her everywhere. And you can, don't forget to download the books that she was mentioning, the free workbook. Don't forget to download that. I am going to go ahead and download that as well because I really think it's going to be the best one. So Rita Goodrow can be found on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and type in Rita Goodrow. The last name is spelled G-O-O-D-R-O-E, okay? Just to make sure, because a lot of people were asking me how to spell that. So you can find all the information here on the show. I put everything, every link, and you can directly communicate with her. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. Let me know what you think. Let me know how do you see this show. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your evening and make it the best and very productive week. I'll see you next week. Have a beautiful one.
Greetings from Miriam Alamu. Salam, salam, salam. You are listening to How Do You See It with your one and only host, Miriam Alamu. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your one stop to gain motivation, learn from stories around the world, and participate to share your perception towards your life. www.blogtalkradio.com/worldperspective